Greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus. It is a real joy, privilege to be here. I was only ever here one other time, and I think that was over conference. I'm not sure how many years ago that was, but this place was a bit familiar. And do see some familiar faces here, but also some unfamiliar faces. I hope to learn to know more of you as the day goes on. And I bring you greetings from Lakeview. As was already announced, we're from the Lakeview congregation up by Lake Erie. Beautiful area. If you've never been through the area, you're welcome anytime. We enjoy having visitors there. I would like for you to imagine with me for a little that there's a bank that credits you. Your account credits your account every day, every morning, with $86,400. It carries over, no balance, from day to day. And every evening it removes whatever we did not use during the day. What would we do? Well, I think all of us would probably draw it all out and try to figure out how to use it in a wise way, right? Each of us has such a bank, and its name is time. Every morning, if the Lord wills, we are credited 86,400 seconds, and every night, it writes off as loss whatever of this we have failed to invest to a good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day, it opens a new account for us each night. It burns the remains of the day. If we do not use the day's deposits wisely, the loss is ours. There's no going back. There's no drawing against the tomorrow. We must live in the present on today's deposits. And I'd just like to think about this subject of time this morning. I titled the message, Stewards of God's Time. As I get older, it feels like there are less and less hours in a day, if you could say it that way. A day passes so quickly, weeks, months, years, come and go, seasons. Seems like we just started spring and it's already into summer and pretty soon it will be fall. And it almost seems like yesterday that we had our first child, and this month she turned 16. It's just a reminder how quickly life moves on. We get photo memories on our phone every day, and it brings up pictures from the past. And there's something inside of me that just wants to step back in time and redo some things. But we can't do that, can we? It's gone. Time can be an enemy to us, or it can be a friend. And unfortunately, many frustrated people seem to always fight time or fight the clock habitually as a way of life. And I trust that's not the way it is for us as God's people. But you hear people staying up late. They sleep as late as they can, and then they rush off to work, maybe even eating breakfast in the car, trying to shave and talk on the phone all at the same time. I've seen some of that in my years of driving. But life doesn't need to be a mad rush where time becomes our enemy. In fact, God, I believe, desires that we enjoy life and make the best of every moment. I think it's good for us to reflect how we are using the time God gave us. And I wish for all of us, we're not going to be looking at the life of Jesus this morning, but I think it would do us good just to reflect, think about the example of Jesus with his time here on earth. I never think of Jesus as someone who was in a hurry and running out of time, so to speak. Although he was doing the most important work in history, redeeming the world, and although he only had a few short years to do it, he was never worked up and in a hurry that I know of. He took time to consider the flowers and the birds of the air. He had time to put his hands on the little children and bless them. and he had time for each need in front of him. God exists in a realm that is not bound by time or space. He doesn't wear a watch or pull out his phone to see what time it is or to see if he's on time. He is the creator of time and much greater than time itself. And I would like to take you to Psalm 90 this morning. It's a familiar psalm. And I would like to read these 17 verses here. Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. And as a watch in the night, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. There are a number of things I want to notice in this psalm. Number one, we serve a God who is eternal and faithful through all ages and for all generations. We serve a God who is eternal and faithful through all ages and for all generations. And we see this in verses 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. And I think the Amplified says our refuge, sanctuary, stability. In all generations, before the mountains were formed, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. This stands out as a faith booster for me, comfort, that in the change of time, that as time moves on, there is something that is there. There's someone that is there, and he's faithfully there, unchanging, always there. God is not bound by time in any way. He's eternal. And this everlasting God, this creator God, gifted each one of us time. Something he wants us to take and enjoy and use as a good steward. And secondly, another thing I see in this psalm is our time is brief. We see numerous word pictures here of the brevity of life. In verse 4, it tells us how time is to God. 1,000 years are just like a passing day, he says. Also, it says that life is like a watch in the night. It's that short. The Jews recognize, if I understand correctly, the Jews recognize 3 night watches, which were approximately, I think, 4 hours long. And so it was like one of these night watches. It came just like that. It's gone. It's like a watch in the night. In verse 5, he mentions that life is like sleep. It quickly passes. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but sometimes I fall asleep, and before I know it, I woke up, and just like that, sleep is gone. It comes, and that soon is gone. Sometimes nights seem extra short. We wish we could sleep longer. In verse 6, we have grass. In the morning, it flourishes, and by night, it begins withering. And we know what the Apostle James says about life, how it's like a vapor. It appears for a little bit, just like that. It's gone, vanishes. These word pictures help us put time and life into perspective. And verse 3 speaks of death. Our lives are bookended by birth and by death. And when we face death of a loved one or a close friend, it brings us to reality. And we need those reminders again and again of how quickly life passes and how God wants us to use our time for his glory. Number 3, how we use our time is our choice, but we will give account of how we use it. Moses, the writer of this psalm, seems to be aware of this, and he prays in verse 12 that God would teach them to number their days and apply their hearts unto wisdom. Moses also seems to be aware of God's wrath and has a desire in his heart to escape God's wrath. He's concerned that this time that God had given him, that he can use it in a wise way for God's glory. Verse 7 says, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." Like, it's a troubling thing to think of God's wrath. Verse 11, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." And then he goes on in verse 12, "Teach us, Lord, teach us. Teach us to number our days." And we'll look more at what all that means. But we are stewards. God has given each of us the gift of time. And I would like to use an acrostic for the word time and hopefully find some ways to help us be good stewards of the time God has given us. Number 1 is the word treasure, for the letter T, treasure. Here we have this thought of numbering our days. I don't know what you think of when you think of numbering our days. We keep track of our years and count them. At least some of us try to. The fact is, every day is valuable. And God wants us to treasure time as a valuable commodity. We take our money and we count it, right? We don't want to just carelessly throw it or lose it. Throw it in the trash can. Maybe we end up wasting it more than in other ways. But I think it's good for us to stop and think about the minutes, hours, and days that God has gifted us. Counting them gives the idea of treasuring them and being intentional about how we're going to go about the day, have a plan, and yet be surrendered to a God who has our life in control and wants us to be led by his Spirit. But as Christians, we should place a high value on life, which equates with time. Psalm 39:4 says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." We can wake up and dread the day ahead of us, or we can wake up with joy that we have another gift of life. Time is something we need to treasure because it is something that is gifted us from God himself. And we are only given so much. Someone once said, "To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who tried so hard but failed his grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth to a premature baby. How valuable is an hour? Ask the businessman whose flight was delayed an hour and he missed an important business deal. How valuable is 1 minute? Ask the man who had a heart attack in the restaurant and an EMT happened to be sitting at the next table and used CPR to save his life. How valuable is a second? Ask the person who barely missed a head-on collision with an oncoming car. How valuable is a millisecond? Ask the Olympic swimmer who missed qualifying by 6/10. It's just good for us to think about how quickly life can change in a moment. But treasure every moment you have. Another quote, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. And you may have heard that one before, but I think it's just so good to think about. How can we treasure time? Maybe you find yourself discouraged and waking up morning after morning just dreading what's ahead of you. Maybe you have a hard time just valuing life because of all the pressures that come upon us. And we are busy people. We face pressures that do affect us. To be able to treasure each day that God has given us, first of all, we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. When we have a personal relationship with Jesus and choose daily to recognize the undeserving love and goodness of God that has been extended to us, we will tend to see life from a different perspective rather than thinking and living like we deserve better or different. We will see life as something with purpose. We have something to live for. There's a greater purpose for living today, and that's in serving Christ. Stop and consider today how blessed we are to be alive and appreciate the extent of our days. Many come to the end of life and wish they could live it over, but today is the day of opportunity to treasure each moment God gives us. Number two, the letter I, is the word invest. Invest. Where we invest our time reveals what is most important to us. There are 168 golden hours in each week. The average person will spend about 56 of those hours sleeping, about 24 of those hours in eating and personal care, and about 50 of those hours working or traveling to work. That means there are only about 35 hours of a week of what we'll call discretionary time left over. That's about 5 hours per day. So what are we doing with it? If someone were to follow you and me around and observe us for those 5 hours, I wonder what they would have to say. They would have a pretty good idea what is important to us. And perhaps we wouldn't agree with them. But the fact is, God sees and he knows. How much of that discretionary time are we devoting to the Lord, building relationships, kingdom work? We have done well at making ourselves very busy people. Maybe it's different here in Winchester, Virginia. But I do challenge us to stop and think about the impacts of our current investments with our time. Many of us use phrases like, maybe once I find more time. Or we just need to make time, right? Or can we do that? Well, we can learn how to use time wisely. We all have the same amount of time per day, and we can't necessarily save time, but we can invest it. And the choice is ours as to how we do that. Job 7:1 says, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? Job points out that our time upon the earth is appointed. And like that of a hireling, when a man hires someone to come do a job for him, that hireling is there for a time. He toils and labors in the things that his boss wants him to do, and he is done. We are here for a brief time, and there are important investments that I believe God wants us to make. And is he the director of my life? Am I surrendered to his lordship where I am in tune with him and I'm taking up that call to do those important things? The most important investment we'll ever make is to surrender to Christ and serve him every day. I want to lift that up. And every day of discipleship is what God is looking for. Faithful followers who are intentionally investing in things that are of eternal value. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Today is the day of opportunity to surrender to Jesus and allow his blood to cleanse us from all sin and give us that new life. And if we have received Jesus into our hearts, we have a responsibility. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. Produces a life. It's not a life after the flesh, but a life after the Spirit. We live in obedience to his word and do what is pleasing to him. His heartbeat needs to be our heartbeat. We love to do what brings him glory. We love the light. We hate the darkness. This is a tremendous investment. This affects all of life, and we'll look at a few more things here. Many today are being lulled to sleep spiritually. I'd like to read Romans 13, 11 to 14. If we have been squandering our time and living for ourselves, this wake-up call is for us. Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. This again is another reminder of how life's clock is ever moving forward. Time is being spent. Are we wearing the armor of light? Put on Christ, faithfully serving him. Another investment is our families. How much of our time are we devoting to raising our children? Life can be very demanding, and sometimes us as fathers especially face the pressures of church life, school, running the school, work, and just family time and keeping things under control at home. A study of 1,500 households at the University of Michigan found mothers working outside the home spend an average of 11 minutes a day on weekdays and 30 minutes a day on weekends with the children. It's not including mealtime. Fathers spend an average of 8 minutes a day on weekdays and 14 minutes a day on weekends in different activities with their children. And that's just appalling. And then I stop and think about my investments with my family, and I realize how much better I could do. The devil is out to destroy families, and I think one of the things he does is uses the busyness of our lives to distract us from what's important. But he doesn't need to destroy our families. There is a better way. A godly marriage and raising children takes time and commitment. And I believe this is one of the investments that God wants us to make. God's word has a lot to say about it. And we don't have time to read all the verses, but just a few. And I'll start with our marriages. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. He doesn't give any clauses there. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Is it possible to show love to our wives if we don't give them our time and attention? Will they feel loved if we are too busy to sit and talk about what's important in raising the family, doing things together, raising the children together? Many marriages have been destroyed by misplaced priorities. If you back up a few verses, talks about wives and says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. We each have a role to fill in strengthening our marriage bond. It takes time, it takes commitment, but it's an investment that has eternal effects and rewards. Raising children in our homes calls for a lot of time. Psalm 127:3 says, "Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Children are a gift to us. They are placed in our homes by God, and we are responsible to teach and raise them for him. Again, how can we do this unless we give them our undivided time and attention? Take time to nurture them, instruct them, compliment them. Take time to discipline and love. Make family worship a priority, something that can so easily get pushed out of our schedules with our busyness and not having our priorities where they belong. Another important investment is Christian service within the brotherhood. Also just reaching out to the lonely and discouraged around us. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And I wonder sometimes if we have become too soft. Do we care about the needs around us? Or is our focus mostly on ourselves? God give us wisdom to find that balance of raising our families and reaching out and doing what needs to be done that's important. We need to understand our accountability as God's children to be the salt of the earth and be a reflection of the true light, which is Jesus. We need to sense the urgency of the hour to help those who are struggling, help those who are seeking, seek out the lonely and discouraged. I hear more and more of that as we have an auto repair business, and time again, people come in requesting prayer. They need help. There's many who are lonely, seeking, wondering how to go on in life. Are we there? Do we take the time? Luke 21:34 says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged." And I like what the Amplified says. It says, "heavy, oppressed, dull, with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware." So he's saying that we can be busy and distracted and miss what's important, and the day of the Lord comes. But we need to take today and make those choices to live today the way God wants us to. Number three, in the letter M, I have the word manage. Every moment is a gift from God that must be managed wisely. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. In verses 15 and 16. Familiar verses. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Here the Apostle Paul uses the word redeem, which is probably a better word than the word manage. But in the Amplified, it says it this way: "making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil." And in the previous verse, it talks about our walk, which is the use of our time. It says, "Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who are taught who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, and discerning people." These verses give the idea of walking carefully while constantly looking around to make the most of every opportunity. That is the life that God approves of and blesses. Too many times we spurn opportunities, or perhaps just do the bare minimum, and our heart is not there. These verses give us that picture of one who is sold out to his master, Jesus Christ. This one who carefully chooses what he does with his time because of that, he has time for what is important. If we have misplaced priorities, we will fill our time with the things that we enjoy most. and let the rest to fit in if we have time left over, which often ends up being the most important things. One who redeems the time is one who says no to those things that rob him of spiritual life and vigor. And there are many things that we as Christians face in life that will rob us. And one of those things is our close tie with our phones, technology as a whole, the distraction, tremendous distraction that can be. I think it has a negative effect in many ways, and, you know, disrupting how we think and how we're able to process things and have quiet time to just meditate. It's one of those things that we will need to sort through and ask God to help us through. Maybe it's a hobby like hunting or fishing. These things have become a sport to many people. For many, it's not just about getting meat anymore. It's about the trophies, the best hunting and fishing gear. And I wonder how God views it all when there are many who are heading to a lost eternity without hope. And the sobering thing is that we have a generation growing up watching us as well. They see what is important to us. They are learning what excites us. And they're learning how we use our time day in and day out and the things that we are missing that are important. And there are many other areas that fall under the category of pleasure seeking that I believe runs so contrary to discipleship and self-denial. And I think we do well to think about the brief moment we have to live and allow God to help us use our time for His glory. Say no to those family time robbers, and I already mentioned the phones. It's easy for me to come home from work and be busy at work all day, and there's things to catch up on my phone. But our children need me too. And I think there's a place for getting caught up on important things, but it's not allow those family time robbers to take us away from what is important. Here's some things I found interesting that I'll read to you. A lot of people are on an overload and headed for a crash. Too often we're piled on, stretched to the limit society. We're chronically rushed, chronically late, chronically exhausted. Many of us feel like Job did when he said in Job 3:26, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Overload comes when we have too much activity in our life. Fast-paced lifestyles that don't allow for much time together at home with our children need to be dealt with. I don't know of anyone that said on their deathbed, I wish I'd spent more time at work. It's often, I wish I'd spent more time with God or with my family. I'll read these verses again. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And God help us to do that as we wake up every morning and we cry out to God. Make that as part of the prayer of your day. Lord, help me to understand what your will is for me today. And then walk in that. Be mindful of His Spirit leading us. Those promptings. God wants to direct your life and my life. And how we manage our time. Lastly, number four, the letter E, enjoy. Enjoy. Psalm 90 and verse 14 says, O satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad just today, all our days. I think it's so important that we Face life with a smile. Face life with joy in our hearts. God really wants us to enjoy life. It should not be a drudgery to the Christian. And we should be ever grateful for it. We should show that we enjoy it by using our time to praise him. I think he receives so much glory and so much pleasure when he sees his people enjoying creation. Taking time out of a busy schedule to look up at the night sky in awe. And I'm sober to think how often I miss those opportunities because I'm busy, I'm tired. God wants us to enjoy life. Taking time to enjoy the presence and blessing of others in our lives. Taking the opportunities we have to come to church together whenever there's a service. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly," which I think speaks of the quality of life that God wants us to enjoy. That word abundantly means superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Of course, this describes spiritual life in Christ. What Christ offers is far better than anything else. It is not God's will that we live our days in drudgery. Thought of a customer of ours that I found out just passed away this past week. Had not seen him in a few years because he lost his mind and was in a nursing home. But his car would come into our repair shop, and we couldn't miss what the plate said on the front of the vehicle. Grandpa Grump. And that's how we knew him, unfortunately. It was just very sad. He would come into the office, and we'd ask him how he's doing, and his response, I can still hear him today, terrible. Terrible. And that's the way he lived life. Very rarely could we get him to even smile. And I wonder today where he is. I hope that he was able to find Christ. We tried to be an encouragement to him. It is not God's will that we live our days in drudgery. He wants us to wake up in the morning with purpose, with joy, with his life within us, that we'll go forth and serve him with our best throughout the day. Well, may God help us as we evaluate how we are using the tremendous gift of time that he has given us. Let's not take it for granted and let it slip through our fingers like sand, as a song says. Let's be intentional in our choices, that when Christ comes, we will hear those welcome words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Let's kneel for prayer.